submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, we pray as we approach your word this morning that we might do so humbly and with care, that you would open our eyes to see the truths of Scripture, that you would open our ears that we might hear from you this morning. And Father God, we do pray for great wisdom as we think on these verses together. Encourage our hearts. Help us to see what it is to live out a Spirit-filled marriage. Lord, to be able to encourage one another in that, to support one another, and to walk with one another. Lord, we pray this morning that we would certainly hear from you. So Lord, be amongst us, we ask, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are times in ministry, I have to confess, when I wish I preached a slightly different way. Oh, to be a topical preacher. Oh, to pick the passages of Scripture that you like, and to miss out the ones that you either don't like or you find difficult or you know that other people will find difficult. But I don't, and we can't, because this is God's Word, and all of it is for our instruction. For a few weeks now, I've been anxiously looking forward, well, maybe not looking forward, but I've been anxiously seeing these verses right in front of me, and wondering how I can gloss over them quickly to move us on to what's next. But I can't, and we won't. I remember a cartoon. I showed it a few years ago, actually, and I still haven't been able to find it to show you. But the cartoon, if you can picture it in your minds, is of a preacher who, for the week before his sermon, had prepared the pulpit like a fortress. And he stood there on the Sunday morning, peering through this little crack, and the caption read, "This morning my text is 1 Peter 3:1, wives submit to your husbands." I guess I could easily use that with this parallel passage in Ephesians. And yet, as I spent time in the study this week, I was reminded of God's grand design of creation, of his wonderful plan for marriage, and of his great purposes for husbands and for wives. So this week and next week, let me encourage you from God's word about Spirit-filled marriage. You'll remember, of course, that the Apostle Paul has just reminded the Ephesian believers of the command to be filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was sent on believers to empower them to live life the way that God intended. The Spirit came to be our comforter, to be our counselor. And as we know, the Spirit's power in our lives leads and guides us in God's ways. And God's ways are so radically different from the ways of the worlds in which we live. And the same had been true for the believers in Ephesus. The standards of the world were far from the standards of God. And so Paul is teaching and encouraging believers to stand out from the crowd, to be different, to witness for Jesus and how they lived their life to the full. And we're called to do the same today, in our day. We live in a day when God's standards are not upheld, where the gospel is ridiculed and where God's ways are rejected. We live in a day when marriage is under attack. People don't believe in marriage anymore. Vast crowds of folks just live together. The state calls for and sanctions same-sex marriage. Christian marriage and all it stands for is being ignored and eroded away. Friends, it's time for us to change that. It's time for us to get back to God's Word and to live it in such an enthusiastic and encouraging way that people see the difference. We live in a day when people, even within the church, want to change centuries-old teaching. Many argue that women should be able to do everything in the church that a man can, including the preaching. In the home, there should be no hierarchy of authority, but rather mutual submission. Passages that instruct wives to submit to their husbands are explained away as applying only to that culture, or are reinterpreted in light of a few other obscure passages so that they don't mean what they seem to. Friends, however hard it is, it's time for us to realize that this is God's Word, and it comes with His authority. Even if we don't like what it says, it's God's Word. And so I'm glad to see a generation rising up before us who are going back to taking God at His Word. I was thrilled and delighted to participate in a wedding recently where the couple gladly accepted their God-given responsibility to lead and to submit. Now, I am well aware that people have misunderstood these terms and have abused them, but that does not stop them from being God's ideal for us, as we properly understand them and apply them and live them out. So my task this week and next is to try and help us see what God's Word is teaching in regard to living out a Spirit-filled marriage. And you might not agree with me, and that's okay. You might want to discuss it with me. Man, that's okay as well. But my one request is that you allow, through prayer, the Holy Spirit to instruct all of our hearts together through His Word. This week, we're going to consider the duty of wives. And next week, guys, you definitely need to come back, because next week, we get to think on the duty of husbands. If you're married, this is God's plan for us. If you're single and looking forward to being married one day, then this is what God designed for that marvelous relationship. And if you are single and very happy being single, then can I encourage you to be praying for those who are married, that you might encourage your family and your friends in this way. We begin in verse 22 then with the responsibility for wives. The responsibility: wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Now, we don't like that word, submit. I mentioned it last week at the end in relation to verse 21. We've got a real struggle with submission in our days. We're taught in our world to assert ourselves, to put ourselves forward, to stand up for our rights, to forget about everyone else, and to concentrate on number one, to get what we deserve. And as I said last week, if you know the Scriptures, if you read the Bible, you'll understand that the only thing we all deserve is God's condemnation, because we are sinners who have fallen away from Him and from His ways. Yet God, in His mercy, came down in love to save us, to redeem us, to draw us back to Himself. He came in grace. Grace is God's undeserved favor on us. And God, in His Word, commands us, verse 21, to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So submission starts with that recognition that we are to mutually submit to one another. We are to consider others better than ourselves. The primary idea Paul is trying to get across is that God's people must learn to put everyone else ahead of themselves. And with that in place, he moves on to say that within that structure and understanding of life, wives are to submit to their husbands. Now, there may be many a modern woman who just cringes when they hear those words. But I think part of the problem is the misunderstanding we have of the meaning of submission. Let me tell you what it doesn't mean to start with. It doesn't mean that wives, that women, are inferior to their husbands, to men. We are both created in the image of God. Men and women are created in equal dignity and in equal depravity and in redemptive privilege. The Bible reminds us right at the start where men and women came from and how life and relationships fit together. Adam was made from the dust of the earth, but Eve was made from Adam. Where did God get the part from man that he fashioned into the woman? Not from the head, as though she would be superior to him. Not from the foot, lest she be inferior to him. But actually from his side, so that she might be his companion and his equal. When Adam first met Eve, he didn't say, "Oh, good. At last, I've got someone to boss around, someone to do the unpleasant chores for me and wait on me hand, foot, and finger." Adam saw a marvel who was part of himself, equal in dignity to himself, and soon equal in that natural depravity to himself, and soon equal in redemptive privilege to himself. And Adam realized he should treat her as well as he would treat his own body. In the context of equality and oneness, Adam, in his manhood, was to lead and have primary responsibility as the head of the marriage, while Eve, in her womanhood, was gladly to affirm and support Adam, and the two, united as one, were to image God. They were to have children and to care for God's world. That was God's design for healthy marriage in Genesis. And it didn't change in the New Testament. It is still God's design for healthy marriage for those who belong to Jesus Christ. As well as that, submission does not mean that wives give up independent thought or simply fall under the authorities of their husband and everything. Paul here is addressing, in these few verses in particular that we're thinking on this morning, Paul is addressing the wives. He's not speaking to the husbands, although they get to listen in and there's a part of it they need to be aware of. He is speaking directly to the wives. He is asking them to seriously consider what he is saying, to listen, to think, to apply, to act on it. At the same time, they are always to think about what their husbands are asking of them and not just simply to do it. For example, if their husbands ask them to do something that is not biblical, that's not Christ-like, then they should not simply follow along. We're called firstly to submit to Christ, to love him, to honor him. And of course, if you look at the parallel passage in 1 Peter chapter 3, wives are not to give up trying to influence their husbands either. Peter speaks of wives winning their husbands over. The wife whose husband is disobedient to the Lord is not to be passive and not to influence him. Rather, she is told to influence him by her quiet and gentle spirit. I have to tell you that Morag is the best person in my life to quietly chide me when I step away from God's word and God's ways, when I say or do something that is not quite in fitting with my calling as a believer. What a marvelous helpmate God has given to me. Being submissive is not to be inferior. It's not to be a doormat. It's not to be put down. So what does submit mean then? It means to be in obedience to be under, to arrange under. It's a military term that it refers to keeping one's rank. The word submit in the Greek is a Greek word, hupotasso. It's two words merged together as you so often find in the Greek. And one half of that word, tasso, is a word that means order. Our God is a God of order. He's ordered things in the world in a certain way. We see that right through the creation account, don't we? In the way that he began the world and formed the world. And he's ordering of human life. He has established certain authority leadership roles. At times, the Greek word was used of soldiers lining up under the command of an officer. Any military operation would totally fail without a recognized system of authority and submission. If each soldier did their own thing, that army will meet with disaster. And so in family life, God has designed an order. However politically incorrect this may sound in our day and age, we must recognize that God requires husbands, and we'll think a bit more on this next time, He requires husbands to exercise loving care and rule as the head or leader of their wives who are required to accept it. At creation, God made a wife for Adam, from him, after him, and for him. What I mean by that is from him, she's like him in every way, after him because he leads her, he was there first, and for him because he was pretty useless without her. I think as a general term there, he was lonely and needed that support. Wives are called to lovingly submit to their husbands, to follow his lead and his guide as he in turn submits to and follows the lead of Christ. And actually, there is the key in it all. There is the key in it all. Why have we drifted so far away from God's design for marriage sometimes? Because husbands haven't lived up to their calling before God to submit and to follow him and to lead their household to do the same. And in case you think this is just isolated to this little verse here, I've already mentioned 1 Peter 3:1. I could send you to 1 Corinthians 11, to Colossians 3, to Titus 2. There are other verses. The responsibility on wives is to be submissive to their husbands. Note, interestingly, that wives are told to submit, but husbands are never told to demand that submission from their wives. It's something that's offered, never demanded. A well-known evangelical leader said, "I believe in a wife submitting to her husband, but I don't believe the husband ever has the right to demand it. In fact, I know when I am unworthy of it, she does not. My responsibility as a husband is to be worthy," he said. And let's be honest. The truth is, when husband and wife are both believers, when they both truly love and follow Jesus, when they both love each other deeply, then they actually submit to one another and work together as a marvelous team. I certainly know that's how it works in our relationship. In detailing the responsibility for wives, Paul is clear to give the reasons for them to follow these instructions. These words and these thoughts very clearly give us the motivation for wives to submit to their husbands. This is the cause of them living well and having that spirit-filled marriage. Firstly, the lordship of Christ. That's where it always starts, the lordship of Christ. Verse 22 says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord." So often we get hung up, we get caught on the first half of that sentence, but look at the second half of that verse, "as to the Lord." Paul is comparing your submission to your husband with your submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that lifts submission to the highest possible level. When the Christian wife submits to her Christ and lets him be the Lord of her life, she will have little problem submitting to her husband. That doesn't mean she becomes a slave. That's not what we're talking about. For the husband is also to submit to Christ. If both are living under the lordship of Christ, there can only be harmony. Having Jesus as Lord means more than simply making a statement, though. We're told in Romans 10 and 9, aren't we, that if we confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the starting point of the Christian life for every one of us, seeing the truth, responding in faith to the gospel. Our faith is to grow from there as the Holy Spirit continues that work of sanctification in our lives. We are to know Christ as Lord. Let me start that again. We are to know Christ as Savior and then submit to him as Lord. In order to grow as Christians, we have to be found often in study of God's Word. Read it, learn it, live it. We are to be people found often in prayer, praising God for who he is and all he's done, as well as seeking his help in our lives and in the lives of others. That shouldn't surprise you that those are the things I keep trying to get us to go back to, God's Word and prayer. The Christian wife, as the Christian husband, in fact, as all believers, will submit daily to the lordship of Christ. We will seek to follow him, obeying his commands, walking in love, purity, light, wisdom, and in his spirit. The main reason a wife should submit to her husband's leadership in the home is to please and to obey God. If you challenge or undermine your husband's responsibility, you're resisting the lordship of Christ in your life, according to verse 22 there. Paul goes on in verse 23 to give another reason for following this command through. He speaks of the headship of the husband. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. And I could bore you with a whole lot of debate over the use of that word carefully, which means head there. Scholars have debated it for years on every side possible. But listen, just think simply. Every institution has a head. You might disagree with this statement, actually. There's to be a pastor in the church. Maybe sometimes you get on better without a pastor in your church. I'm not sure. There's to be a head teacher in a school. There's to be a prime minister of the country. My argument's pretty weak here. I understand that. An army needs a commander. A home without a head is an invitation to chaos. Even so, God in his wisdom knew that the home needs a leader. And from the creation account, we see that God intended that the husband and the father should be the leader in the home. God designed men and created that order so that they would provide for and protect their family. From the beginning, God designed marriage to picture the relationship that would someday come between Christ and his church. In other words, in the Garden of Eden, God was thinking of his son and his people when he set about creating man and woman. The Bible doesn't say that the man ought to be the head of the wife. It simply says he is. The man being the head will set the tone in the marriage and in the home, whether he wants to or not. I mean, to grasp this, guys. It may be a good tone in a healthy home if he leads it well. It may be a bad tone in a weak home if he leads it badly or not at all. In any case, the man sets the tone, and even if the man abandons the home, he still dominates the home by the very fact of his absence. And notice that again, Paul is showing us an order here. We worship a God of order. God has ordained an order for the church, an order for the home in which male and female are to reflect his image. Right back to Genesis 1, 27 and 28. And part of the image of God involves the voluntary submission of the Son to the Father. Though equal in his deity, the Son yields to his Father's plan. As Jesus himself explained in John chapter 5, he said, "By myself I can do nothing. I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." Jesus submitted even to the cross. Thus, God's plan is that in the home, women are equal persons with men before God and willingly submit themselves to male leadership in the house for carrying out of a divine plan. The main reason a wife should submit to her husband's leadership, again, is to please and obey God. And then notice a third reason. There's the model of the church itself in verse 24. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. How does the church submit to Christ? Well, Paul spent much of the second half of his letter sharing how the believers in Ephesus were to live the worthy lives, to leave the old behind, to seek to walk in true righteousness and holiness. They submit to Christ by following his teaching and seeking to live like him. Even in verse 5, we find that we are to imitate God, verse 1, to live a life of sacrificial love like Christ, verse 2, to find out what pleases the Lord, verse 10, to understand the Lord's will, verse 17, to sing praises to him, verse 19, and to live in godly fear and awe of him in verse 21. On a practical level, the sweet spirit of submission which a wife displays toward Christ and toward her husband, and the tender upbuilding love which the husband has for his wife should model to the world the relationship between believers and their loving Lord. The world operates on the principle of self. In a worldly marriage, each partner is in an ongoing struggle of power, of manipulation, to seek to get his or her own way. Sometimes worldly couples succeed in establishing a mutually satisfying relationship where they agree to meet in the middle and the marriage holds together, but often they wound each other in the struggle and end up divorcing because their selfish needs are not being met. But Christian marriage is to be radically different from worldly marriages. In a Christian marriage, rather than competing with the husband or trying to manipulate him to get her way, the wife willingly submits, seeking to build him up in the Lord, to do all she can to please him, the husband, rather than bullying his wife, or as so often happens, passively letting her have her way so he can buy himself some peace and quiet, the Christian husband ought to provide loving leadership, sacrificially giving himself to build and nurture his wife in the Lord. You see that? Both work together to build each other up in the Lord. Here this morning, these are hard verses and tough verses, I get that. You'll disagree with me, some of you, and I get that too. But for me, as we look at Scripture, we see the responsibility here of wives to submit freely and willingly to their husbands as they do to Christ. We've thought something on the reasons for doing that. These verses have been among the most loved and the most hated and the most misunderstood in all of Scripture. Some men love to hang these verses over the heads of their wives and demand that they fall down in obedience. Some women read these verses and feel that they make the wife inferior to the husband. Neither interpretation is correct, by the way. God is not establishing the husband as some sort of dictator in the home, nor is God relegating the woman to some place of servitude. The truly spiritual wife recognizes God's order in the home. She understands it's a reflection of God's order in the church. Jesus is head of the church, and we are to submit to his headship. The husband has been given the responsibility to lead the home, and the godly wife follows the husband's leadership willingly and humbly. They work together for the glory of God. The husband doesn't demand submission from the wife. She is to offer it freely. The submission, actually, read this carefully, the submission is to her husband. Not to anybody else's husband, just to her husband alone. Women are not subservient to men. They are equals even in the home. But God has ordered. He has invented a leadership in the husband. And the husband one day will be held responsible for the home. He will have to give an account for his actions as the head of the home, just as this boy standing here this morning as your pastor will one day have to give account for the way that he led and guided the people of the flock here. I am spiritually responsible for you. That's probably scary for you. It's scary for me as well. But we will stand before Jesus. I know this isn't an easy area to grapple and to apply and to obey, but I just encourage you to grapple with it, especially in areas where you may be resisting the Lord. Submission isn't easy. It means swimming against the flow of Western culture today. But it's made a lot easier for wives when they read the next bit. And I deliberately read those verses this morning for us. It becomes so much easier for wives when they read of the sacrificial love that the apostle requires of husbands. If you think Paul expects a lot from wives, then he expects a lot from their husbands as well. For now, let me simply ask, because actually it all starts with submission to Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this morning, are you living in such a way that you submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life? Do you know him? Do you trust him? Do you walk in his ways? If not this morning, brother and sister, let me encourage you to come and speak to me, to hear the gospel message again, that Jesus died to save a sinner just like you, that you might crown him as your Savior and submit to him as your Lord. And this morning, maybe you need to do that. Maybe you say you submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life, but your life would actually show that you don't. There's no fruit. You're not reading God's word. You're not spending time in prayer daily and regularly before God. And this morning, maybe you need to get right back to basics. And you need to get back to that point where you give your life to the Lord and you submit fully to him. And wives, let me ask you, do you affirm and appreciate your husband's leadership in your life? Tell him. Encourage him as he follows Jesus. Are you struggling maybe because he isn't providing a good lead in the home? Are you struggling because he's not living life the way that God calls him to live? Then let me encourage you to pray for him and encourage him to stand up and take his responsibility seriously. Are you guilty maybe of manipulating, dominating your husband? Then again, would you confess that before the Lord this morning and work on your relationship with the Lord's help with your husband? The more you acknowledge and respect the leadership of your husband, the more he will look to the Lord for help in carrying out his God-given assignment. Spirit-filled marriage is difficult in this day. It's different from the way we see it in life around us. Spirit-filled marriage involves us submitting first and foremost to Jesus Christ. And then it involves wives submitting to their husbands and husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church. Let's pray together. Father God, we recognize we live in a day that is in some ways so different from the one in which the apostle wrote, but in other ways so similar. Lord, we pray that you would help us all to know you and to walk in your ways. That, Father God, we would recognize Jesus as our Savior and submit to him as our Lord. Lord, we pray that as you fill us daily, regularly with your Spirit, and that you would help us to put aside the old and to put on the new. That you would help us to live for you at all times, giving you the glory, the honor, and the praise that you so rightly deserve. Lord, we do want to pray for those who are married today as well. How we pray for marriages, Father God, that would just be shining examples to the world around. And Lord, I want to thank you for the many marriages that I see regularly before me. For those who set an example to us who are slightly younger in our married lives. And even for those who are slightly younger and see still others coming behind, Lord, how we pray that for all of us, you would help us to encourage others what it is to live a Spirit-filled marriage, to live as you have called us to. Lord, would you help us to grapple with these verses this morning? Help us not to get upset with one another over them, but Father God, to earnestly, honestly, humbly seek your Spirit's leading and your guiding. And Lord, I pray this morning that anything that is of me, Lord, that your Spirit would just take it away from our minds and that you'd leave behind only that which is of you this morning. Father God, speak to our hearts, we pray. Encourage us in these days, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.